fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights.
In honor of Bob McCown's return tomorrow, we're pulling out all the hits from when he was a teenager today. McCown back tomorrow. This is his final day of vacation, the Labor Day roundtable.
Is that Bill Haley in the comments?
this is later than that.
Oh, okay.
This is no rock around the clock. Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet from Bob in with Chris Johnson, John Shannon, and Matt.
Hey, that's the first day you could say that.
That's right.
Congratulations. Welcome aboard.
This is my first official day as a Rogers employee.
Congrats.
It feels...
The money's still
there.
Does
it feel different?
Less. Yeah. No, not really. I figure...
The direct deposit feels good, though.
It's good. Yes, it's not mailed to me now, so that's really nice. That's a big improvement. Okay, so on the weekend, one of the biggest sports stories of the weekend was the wait, and Jeff Fisher and the St. Louis Rams sure kept everybody waiting for their announcement on Michael Sam. They did not keep him on the main roster. He went through waivers and was unclaimed. And today came the news that he wasn't even placed on the Rams practice squad. Ian Rappaport, who is our NFL reporter, I believe for NFL.com, reported that the Montreal Alouettes, who own his negotiating rights, have reached out to Michael Sam to ask him if he would be interested in playing for them. And now comes a debate, and I don't know how many legs it's got, but it's certainly out there. Is there anything sinister to the fact that Michael Sam was not kept on the main roster, was not claimed by anyone else, and was not kept by the St. Louis Rams on their practice roster? John Shannon.
Well, actually, I'm a Jeff Fisher fan. I've always liked the way Jeff Fisher coached. I like the way he played the game. I'd like to think that he's beyond something like this when it comes to the Rams situation. And when you consider that the type of player that Sam is, in reading a little bit about this over the weekend, it appeared that probably only half of the NFL teams would be interested in his style of player, being a 4-3 player as opposed to whatever as opposed to a 3-4.
Or
so
flex or
he's
whatever.
He's a rush end, and how many teams need rush ends at this point? And the other thing is you know as well as I do, Elliot, that he didn't get picked up today. But this is the National Football League.
Guys are going to get hurt.
Guys are going to get hurt
after week one.
Yes, and I mean it's not the end of the world today. And I would just hope you knew the criticism was going to come. You knew that if he didn't get a job by opening day, there would be criticism that there was an anti-gay philosophy in the National Football League. But at the same time, in giving guys the benefit of the doubt, you have to think they want the best players for their team too.
I have a tough time thinking there's something sinister here too, John. I mean, I remember watching the ESPY Awards, and Michael Sam was honored during those, and the support that he seemed to be getting right throughout the Rams organization. Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I think Jeff Fisher was very sincere in the way he dealt with this player that, he got beat out. And that was, in reading, even after the draft, it seemed like that was the consensus heading into training camp, was that this was going to be a tough spot for him to earn, and he didn't. And you're right. Maybe today it's not a great day for him, but I still think we're going to see him somewhere.
Hard to believe that the SEC Defensive Player of the Year doesn't have a place to play.
Let me just hold you on that one right there. He was an All-American last year, Michael Sam. The other All-American end was a guy by the name of Jackson Jeffcoat, who played at Texas. He wasn't even drafted, and he was waived by the Seattle Seahawks as an undrafted free agent. So I'm not sure how relevant is.
Right. So as I was going to say, that we see it so often that it doesn't necessarily matter if you are an All-American. mm-hmm. or you've won the Heisman Trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Think about all the Heisman Trophy quarterbacks that were not successful.
Gina Toretta
was the one. I mean, even Doug Flutie, who went to Boston mm-hmm. College, where I went to school.
I don't know if you know, he was pretty successful.
He was extremely successful here in Canada in the CFL,
mm-hmm.
as I know, winning three or four of the Grey Cups that he went to. And, you know, when you think about his career in the NFL, you know, certainly he was able to be successful at the end of his career in Buffalo and then spend a little bit of time in San Diego. But I don't think that that does have bearing to finish that point. And if you look at Michael Sam, I think for him, the big question is going to be, do you decide to go to Montreal or do you decide, as John mentioned, to wait just a week, maybe two? Because without question, there will be injuries, and there could be an injury with the St. Louis Rams, and the next thing you know, you are on a practice squad. And so, you know, that there are a lot of players that will decide, let's just wait this out. But I would imagine his agent right now is on the phone with a lot of teams, and, you know, the next evolution to the story is, you know, has anybody told his agent that if something does happen, mm-hmm. that we will bring him in?
I should also mention that somebody on the internet, I believe at the website, The Big Lead, did the math of how many seventh-round draft picks actually make their team.
And the answer is not many.
It's 50-50.
Really?
For the first year. 50-50.
Well, if you recall—
So it's not great odds.
The day he announced that he was gay publicly, there was a lot of discussion that day that, you know, he would be better playing in the Canadian Football League anyway, that he's an undersized linebacker, an undersized defensive lineman that could, with the size of the field and with his speed and the way he played the game, he'd be much more effective north of the border than he would be in the NFL.
For now.
Well, I mean, at any
point. Or long term.
Long term.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's the one thing, you know, with the 22nd, you know, with the clock the way it is, the field being bigger, there are certain types of athletes that fit into the Canadian game better. And Sam, there were lots of people talking about the fact that Michael Sam was more fitted to the Canadian Football League game than he was the NFL.
The thing that really hurt him, too, was the Rams, who are not a great team, probably their deepest position is defensive line. Right. And that hurt him, too. But I'm curious to hear all your guys' opinions on this one. Last week, now, one of the biggest questions about this, would this be a distraction? And I think it's pretty crazy because last year his entire University of Missouri football team knew about it and it never got out. So obviously it wasn't that much of a distraction. But there was a story last week on ESPN where a reporter reported about his showering habits. And Jeff Fisher went berserk on it. He was angry. He demanded and received an apology from the network. You know, initially when he was drafted, there was the Oprah Network was going to do the feature on him, and they backed away. Do any of you believe in any way, shape, or form that that report about his habits coming a week before the season, and it was bad, as someone who's done bad reports before, it was bad. Do you think in any way that could have influenced the Rams' decision?
I don't.
Not me either.
Nope.
No.
I actually think that I thought the Rams handled the whole training camp situation very well. Michael Sam became another player, which is what he was. He was another player in the situation.
And
if not for a few national media that showed up every once in a while,
mm-hmm.
he was just a member of that, you know, the 85 players that went to camp.
Well, ESPN certainly had a lot of stories, you know, on a daily basis, you know, with
they had invested a lot of time in his story.
Correct.
As Chris Long, the player, tweeted, everybody's over it but you.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's an element of truth there. But if you look at the habits, you know, of ESPN when it comes, whether it's Tim Tebow's story, whether it was LeBron this summer, I mean, they do grab on to, you know, a story and they will push
not
it
to death. No, they will not to death is what they'll do.
And but I do think that that report, there was no need for it. I think that
it was a mistake.
It was
nobody,
and I don't think that there's anybody watching that could care less about, you know, you know, that report as far as, you know, when he is taking a shower, when he isn't taking a shower. I mean, it's nobody's business, really. And I do think that with the way that the St. Louis Rams came out and his support, I think that that was significant at the time, mm-hmm. because I think it speaks to how they were viewing the situation, which was, you know what, he's another football player that is here that is trying to make this 53-man roster. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is important, and I don't think it had any bearing on ultimately what came out after that, you know, with respect to him getting cut.
CJ?
This is a tough story. I mean, my feel, honestly, my gut feel is we should almost be beyond the topic, but I realize that's a bit naive because this has been such a huge thing. And, you know, I wonder if for him, if it would make any difference had he come out and said this publicly or not prior to this. I'm just curious how different this situation might have materialized for him, because you have to think even on him that this has been difficult, the attention, going to award shows, having sure. to tell his story, all these this sort
well,
of
becoming,
I don't
think becoming, it's difficult for becoming him. A poster
no?
child.
No.
He's become the poster child. I mean, more than Jason Collins, he's become the poster child yeah. for the
because Jason Collins at the end of his career,
right? And, yeah. and he did come back on a 10-day contract and got signed to the remainder of the season in Brooklyn.
But Chris brings up a really interesting point. In our lifetime, now I'm older than all you guys, will we ever be beyond it? And God, I hope so.
Oh, yeah,
I hope
too.
So. But I wonder. I wonder if we ever will. I mean, if the machismo of athletes and the expectation of the sports fan, if we'll ever be beyond it. I mean, I'd like to be beyond it tomorrow.
Well, you know, John, it's funny to say that. And the reason that I don't think it's been hard for him, Chris, is because I think in a lot of ways he was free. He didn't have to hide anymore.
Yeah.
He could be who he was. Like, if you watch that speech at the ESPYs, I mean, I saw a guy who was very happy to be where he was and very comfortable in his own skin. And I don't think it's very easy to be that way if you're not being who you really are. John, when it comes to that about, like, I think there's probably more gay athletes out there than we know or aware
of. Well, I mean, why aren't sports any different? Why are sports any different?
Absolutely.
I mean, whether it's 3% or 5% or whatever the number is.
I think if anything is shown with this guy in the last 2 years is that, okay, so at University of Missouri, they knew about it. He told his team. Mm-hmm. It didn't get out. It didn't seem to be an issue. For the St. Louis Rams, it doesn't sound like it was an issue. I think it's a bigger issue in the media and society than it is for the athletes. I think I think there's a greater percentage of us, general public and media, who worry about it more than I bet athletes do.
So let me ask you that. And, sure. And, I mean, this may be unfair, but was that the same for Jackie Robinson?
No.
Was it? Because
society's moved a long way in 70 years.
But the point. But. I guess my point is that I never once, ever think about an athlete and say, well, there he is, he's heterosexual.
Yeah.
I never think that.
Mm-hmm.
So I shouldn't think that he's homosexual either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's where we need to get to. That and we're not there yet. We're just not there yet. And I wonder how long it will take us to get there that we don't care what their sexual preference is.
But who isn't there? I think we're a lot farther. I think if this Michael Sam thing proved anything, we're a lot farther there than we thought.
Well, I hope so.
You know, like.
But we're talking about a gay football player not making a team as the 52nd or 53rd player.
Because it was a new story. We've never had a football player in this position before. The thing about that is I believe society now is very different than it was 70 years ago. Like where we were in North America when Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier and where we are now where Michael Sam is the first openly gay player to be drafted.
Yeah.
I think we're very different as a society.
Actually, that's probably a better statement to be made if you're a homosexual because the four of us don't feel it.
Yeah, no. I would concede that. But what I'm not saying that there's no racism or anything like that. I think that's a crazy thing to say. But I think the level of public acceptance mm-hmm. from people for those who do accept it is a lot greater than it was 70 years ago.
I don't disagree.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's all I'm saying. Fair. I think you have a greater chance of being accepted in 2014 than you did in 1947. Do we still have our problems? Absolutely. Look at what's happening in Missouri, in Ferguson, not far from where the Rams are. But do I think that the people who are willing to stand up and say this is okay are a lot more vocal than they were 70 years ago? At least that's my opinion. People can tell me I'm wrong if they want to.
I concur. That's why
waiting for someone else to go, you're wrong.
Earlier,
on
that's
principle.
What I was saying. I'm almost uncomfortable talking about it because to me, it just.
I think that there,
seem
you
like
know,
an issue.
It's. I think it's very difficult for anyone to sit here and discuss how the locker room of a team may take.
We're not in there.
Yeah, you're not in there.
We're not in there.
And so, but I will say this. Certainly, the reactions of the St. Louis Rams, specifically to the ESPN report, would give you a sense of what their locker room was about, which certainly seemed it was positive. And that's what you would all hope for. I think anybody would hope for that this one day isn't a story. Mm-hmm. We have said that so many times when there is something that is groundbreaking, societal breaking, that you hope that in the near future that this will be something that won't be an issue with some people. However, I think we all understand that there is an element there, and unfortunately, and that may exist in some areas. We'll have to kind of give this time, right?
You have to give it time because it's not over.
Right.
This whole chapter isn't over. And, it would be interesting to see if he did. I think you guys are right. He'll wait a couple of weeks to see who gets injured and see if there's, the NFL is a long, grueling season. Mm-hmm. Guys are going to get hurt. But I think it would be fascinating to see him in the Canadian Football League.
The 49ers have no defensive linemen.
They're all suspended or hurt.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you imagine him in the East Division? He's going to have no trouble there, I wouldn't think. The defenses are ruling so far in the CFL this year.
Well, he gets his team two more wins. They have home field advantage in the second round of the playoffs.
That's right.
But I do agree with you that this is this is obviously a story that's not going to go away anytime soon. I think in some ways I wonder if it's like he wasn't kept on the roster for any special reason. He was treated like any other football player,
and more important,
which I think is important.
Just as important in that, Elliot, is that he as a player, he didn't play special teams.
Mm-hmm.
So he was really limited in his role that what he could offer the Rams. Mm-hmm. There was only certain types of plays that he could play for the Rams. And I think that had a lot. In this day and age, versatility, even in a 53-man roster, versatility is very important.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
Well, it's certainly a league of a specialty. And so if you are the person that is at that back end of that roster as far as, trying to make a team, hey, can you play maybe multiple spots,
You know what? He was treated like any other player. And I think at the end of the day,
that's all you can ask
That's what you want. Yeah. That's what you can ask for. Okay, let's move around a little bit. Labor Day is the day where every parent rejoices because the brats are back at school tomorrow and you don't have to deal with them for 24 consecutive hours. But it's also the unofficial start.
Elliot's a really good parent.
What a great
father of the year. Daycare goes 24. daycare goes 12 months a year, John. I don't worry about that right now.
I'll tell you, great parent, three. Gambler. Yeah. Boy, gambler, you'll tell you what. Yeah.
Geek. Sorry, Max, you're not going to university. I had the Argonauts this afternoon. Let's look at something else here. It's the unofficial start to the fall season. NFL starts this week. NHL training camps are 16 days away. The rookie tournaments are next week. The NBA starts their exhibition season in a little over a month. Photo day is probably coming up at the end of September. And there's a lot more. Tennis is winding down. Golf is winding down. But there's a lot going on out there. What is going to be the story that you guys are going to look forward to for the fall season of sports? Chris, I'm going to start with you.
Can the Dallas Cowboys finish better than 8-8?
Oh, my God.
Sorry, I'm just.
Is this Tony Romo's last stand?
You know, Jerry Jones regrets not drafting Manziel.
Did you read that story, by the way?
I did. It was very well done.
But if anybody out there has not read it yet, Don Van Natta did a fantastic piece with Jerry Jones, where Jones basically tampered with Adrian Peterson, and then to Jerry Jones, will have my internal credit for this. When he was asked about it, he said it's true exactly as
well. They had it on videotape.
Yeah.
They have the call on video.
But tape, still, so. He could have claimed out of context. Yeah. He did it.
He also admitted at the draft table that he got talked out of taking Johnny Manziel. He wanted to take Manziel, and his son talked him out of it.
Yeah.
And he said he's still mad at his son.
Yeah, that's right.
There was all sorts of good stuff in there. But the NFL really is what's on my mind right now. Looking ahead, Elliot, we have our fantasy draft tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, yep.
Don't mess it up.
Yeah, Matt, you got your invitation, eh?
No.
Okay.
You guys aren't gamblers. You're not invited.
According to the National Football League, that's not gambling. That's playing fantasy.
That's right. Close enough.
No, it's playing fantasy.
And, you know, the story, to me, one of the big stories that I have interest in is maybe the Seattle Seahawks. Can this be the one team that finally repeats? They were so dominant, but it just seems every year there's something that sabotages a great NFL team. And, you know, anyway, so it is the NFL on my mind, and I want to see kind of how things develop here the next few months.
You got tickets to a Cowboys game this year? I know you've gone before.
I do not.
Have you been to the new stadium?
I haven't. That's a dream.
I thought you've been for some reason.
No, I've been to a few Cowboys games on the road, but I've never been down to Jerry's Palace. And honestly, sometimes it's easier to watch the NFL on your couch, I find. I mean,
that's true.
Logistically,
yes, that is true.
And that's why they're changing the in-game experience.
Yes. I'm more like home. I'm a red zone fan.
Yeah. How can you not?
I love the red zone. Not to take over, I'm really looking forward to the Ryder Cup. I mean, the Ryder Cup's at the end of September. Mm-hmm. It's, golfers aren't, used to playing a team sport. And yet these guys get so cranked up to play for their country and play for their continent. I think that it's one of the great events. And I think that it's going to be fascinating this year, because I think that Tom Watson is going to have his lunch eaten and given to him again. And it's always humbling to have Tom Watson have his lunch given to him. Watson's one of those guys that thinks he's bigger than the game, and it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Boy, him and Tiger Woods, there's no love lost between those two guys.
No, not really.
It's that's actually, to me, the most disappointing thing about Woods not being healthy to be there is watching those two guys grimace at each other and they're barely kept content under the surface.
I think that's one of the reasons why Woods did what he did finally, was to say when Watson said, well, we'll wait and see, and Woods said, I'm not waiting to see. I'm not going to allow you to make my decision for me. I will make the decision in the end. But to me, it's tough not to point to the NFL. But I think the Ryder Cup on the 26th and 27th is going to be fascinating.
Matt?
Look, this one may not resonate here with the three of you, or in Toronto for that matter. Mm-hmm. But college football, and there's a new playoff system.
It's a fair playoff system.
Here's the thing: you have the panel. What I'm interested to see is the committee, 13 member committee.
Condoleezza Rice,
she might Barry actually know Alvarez.
More about football
more than
most
people
of the people
realize.
Yeah,
and so
she knows her football.
So I'm interested to see their first top 25 comes out, I believe, at the end of October, October 28th. And so I'm interested to see how all this kind of plays out this year, because everybody has been talking about how there needs to be a playoff system in college football. And ultimately the coaches, I don't think many coaches really wanted it, because bowl games help you keep your job.
Yes.
And
it's always helped to win
and generate revenue for your school.
They do, but they don't. Yeah. In fact, I know that I think it was 12, 13 consecutive bowl games that Boston College went to. At the end of the day, by the time you fly your football team out there and the band and everybody else, you actually don't generate.
The band is a drain.
Well, you got to take the band.
You got to take the band. But, if you get paid $600,000, I'm not talking about, Fiesta or Sugar, one of the major ones, that most of the time for the secondary bowls, you actually lose money in. So it's kind of interesting you know, there's probably, from my understanding, 25 to 30 of the 125 Division I football programs actually make money.
So
University of Texas makes more money on a Saturday football, and they had nobody drafted off of that team last year. They make more on a Saturday than Duke University basketball makes for an entire season.
Okay, so pick your four playoff teams.
What, right now?
Yeah.
You can't.
Come on.
You can't.
Are you kidding me?
This is sports radio.
Alabama and
nobody remembers bad predictions.
No. And I'll tell you why. You have Michigan State going to Oregon, which is a big one.
Yeah.
LSU didn't look great against Wisconsin.
UCLA didn't look great.
UCLA did not look good at Virginia. Mm-hmm. And Alabama, I don't think, looked good on Saturday night either. So, I that's what I'm kind of interested to see how all this plays out. And we all know that the chances of four undefeated teams at the end, certainly in the SEC, you're not going to see it. Everybody is saying that the Pac-12 is actually the best football that's being played right now. But yet Rutgers goes out to Seattle and they play Washington State. Washington State's in Pullman, but they played in Seattle and ended up beating Washington State. And Mike Leach, who's,
the quarterback guru.
Yes. So I'm actually interested to see what kind of develops.
How many games are broadcasting this year?
Not as many as I have in the past, just because I want to take some time with the family and some hockey tournaments before my
So you're
my
not
season.
Looking forward to the hockey tournaments more than college football?
No, I am. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to go to some hockey tournaments. But the next game I have is at Georgia Tech, and then I have Illinois at Nebraska and a few others.
Matt has his mini sticks ready for the hotel.
Absolutely. They're now composite mini sticks, or composite, as we say here.
Ellen, we also have September baseball. No one's mentioning.
That would be up there for me. By the way,
you can watch and see if Kansas City gets in holds on to the AL Central and give the Jays the longest playoff drought in the majors.
Boy, your optimism from last hour on the Blue Jays has suddenly dissipated.
Well, after being called an apologist or something along those lines, I have to strike back here.
By the way, Ben Nicholson-Smith, who's the baseball editor here at Sportsnet.ca, has just confirmed a report that Sergio Santos got outrighted to double A.
Wow.
So that sources say that's not good.
Okay. Well, they're going to the playoffs in New Hampshire.
So that's really not good for him. NFL this year, I think we should discuss it. Season starts Thursday night. You mentioned the Seahawks. Green Bay, Seattle being the first game. Aaron Rodgers against that great Seattle defense. We talked about Michael Sam a little bit, but what are the storylines I think we're all looking out to watch here? I think Seattle's a great one. Are they able to do it? Aaron Rodgers coming back from injury. I'm looking forward to that. But to me,
49ers too.
The 49ers look like they're on the shred of the cliff
of
collapsing
stuff going on.
But to me, the biggest story of the NFL, we're going to have to wait till week 5, and that is Johnny Manziel, because that's going to be his first start for the Cleveland Browns. I am predicting right here and now, after Cleveland's bye week, they're 0-3, and he's the starter, and the internet will collapse upon itself as he goes out there for the first time.
Wow. So Brian Hoyer has no chance of winning a game?
What's that?
Hoyer has no chance
their
of winning a game?
Their schedule is brutal.
Oh, I know.
And they just lost Josh Gordon. They're not very good. I think Manziel is going to be the biggest story, at least in the early season of the NFL, when the true storylines shape themselves up.
You know, you talked about Seattle. I think one of the key things in all of this is you got to remember that Russell Wilson's second half last year was not
very
good. No, the first half he was outstanding. It was the second half he wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the one thing. They did win those playoff games for the most part with spurts of energy from Wilson and the great defense. It's whether they all talked about Wilson's leadership and what he did and everybody taking part in what he wants to, whether it was the Major League Baseball teams and his leadership skills. But you have to hope that if you're a Seahawk fan, if Wilson can actually be a little more consistent and play more in the pocket, and that might be a difference for the Seahawks.
Yeah, I'm actually interested to see if the Giants can bounce back. If Eli Manning, who has led them to two Super Bowls, if he is miserable once again with all the picks that he threw last year, and they really struggled, and is this going to be the end for Tom Coughlin, who, you know, has done an absolutely
Hall of Famer?
He's been tremendous there, right? How do they manage it? Because I don't think that the fan base there will be able to deal with another season, you know, like last year. And then ultimately, I think, you know, close by, you're thinking about Buffalo and what plays out there. I think that's going to be really, you know, an interesting storyline as things progress. And then real quick, I'll add one more down in Philadelphia with Mark Sanchez, who, you know, everybody is saying that, you know, he's kind of finding himself a little bit in Philadelphia.
That's because Nick Foles has had a terrible camp. He's been awful.
By the way, Matt only praised Tom Coughlin because he was the coach at Boston College when Matt went to school there.
Well, no, actually, he came after.
He was there?
Oh, he came after. However, I will say this, David Gordon. You don't know. Do you know David Gordon?
The kicker.
41-39. I was there.
Yep.
It was.
I was at that game.
It was a great game. I was also at Doug Flutie's Hail Mary down in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I was in high school at the time. But I was down there.
You talk about the Giants, you have to wonder, too, and you talked about Manziel coming off the bench. You have to wonder when the first time Michael Vick starts for the Jets. Because, you know what? If they get off to a rocky start, Vick is of such talent. He may be undersized, but he's of such talent that the Jet fans won't tolerate very much.
We have talked about all of the National Football League so far without mentioning the New England Patriots once.
Well, and, they haven't won the Super Bowl in 10 years.
And Tom Brady... And
do they have a wide receiver yet?
Gronkowski's playing. That's all they need.
And
he'll be healthy all season.
Oh, yeah.
No injuries.
Tell you
there.
What, if Michael Sam could play a tight end, he might have a chance playing with the Patriots. You know,
but it's funny. Like they've almost become an afterthought for the first time in a long time. And you know, John, you'll laugh when you talk about this, but. This is the first time in a long time that Tom Brady has not been one of the premier quarterbacks that will be drafted in fantasy football in ages. Probably about 11 or 12 years.
Yeah, but does that have something to do with him or the wide receivers that he has?
When you've got Amendola,
it's both, no question.
When Amendola and Edelman are your two top receivers, you know, with all due respect to undersized receivers, you know, that you've got a bit of a problem. You know, they have not. Tom Brady has not had an elite wide receiver other than Randy Moss, who was a head case when he was in New England. I mean, that what
well,
Brady's
he's had,
done.
He's had elite tight ends, but no receiver.
No yes. wide receiver. I mean, yeah. I guess you can consider Aaron Hernandez elite. But Brady's done some amazing things, but it's hard to imagine. It has been a decade since they won the Super Bowl.
And another storyline that I think is going to be out there is RG3.
Yes.
In Washington and what happens there. People obviously already talking about Kirk Cousins, who was drafted in the same
draft class,
Michigan State.
Yeah.
RG3 had a statue. This past Saturday,
at their Baylor,
their new beautiful facility down there, statue erected outside of that, and so outside of that stadium. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in Washington, and then also, you know, Daniel Snyder's continual battle, with the name. Yeah. So it's
Daniel Snyder. It'll go terribly for him. That guy is like the worst PR. Handles himself with the worst PR. Probably more than almost anybody in sports right now. Anything that guy touches turns to lead. They had a jewel there in Griffin, and they've almost blown it. Just for
was
one
that his,
playoff
was that his, was
yeah,
his,
I mean,
fault,
yeah.
his fault or Mike Shanahan?
Yeah, is that, you know, Shanahan?
I think, but it's just typical of the way he does things. Like, whatever he does just blows up in his face, like a bad Great Ten chemistry experiment.
They've been bad a long time. They've been bad a long time.
RG3 is the classic of what we were talking about last hour, though. One year, he's the next greatest quarterback ever.
I was thinking
ever.
That. He's like, it's and, like Eugenie Bouchard. Everybody praises her at the beginning of the summer, and everybody kills her at the end of the summer.
Well, except Robert Griffin did get hurt pretty badly and had to have reconstructed knee surgery.
Yeah,
sure.
And they brought him back early.
And
but
that's
then,
why.
But how about the Colts, Indianapolis with Andrew Luck? It's going to be interesting to see how that, you know, develops over the course of the season, because he's certainly, I think most people would believe, already one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL.
And what they are doing right now, if you've watched any of the preseason games, and I wouldn't watch too many of those for your own health, but they are doing everything they can for points.
Yeah.
Like, you even look at somebody the wrong way right now, and it's illegal contact. I can't imagine it's going to stay that way, but that is a league that understands that offense sells, and they are going to push it until the end.
By the way, I know we got to go, but you touched on Jerry Jones and the Adrian Peterson conversation, and we've talked about it from the point of view of the Dallas fans for the most part. What if you're a Minnesota fan, you take the Adrian, you read about the Adrian Peterson phone call?
I'm a Vikings fan.
I say that publicly?
Yeah, I can't blame him. Now, look, if you want to go somewhere and you want to win, I got no problem with that. I don't think Dallas is going to win, so I think you're dumb if you go there. Sorry, Chris. But I think if you're Adrian Peterson, you have given everything to that team they could ask for. Running backs are at the end by 30. Nobody wants to pay running backs when they're 30. If he wants to go somewhere where he can win, I can't. I don't know if I can really fault that guy. Bad ownership, bad organization. He's giving them anything they can't. Chris, give me a Super Bowl champion. You going with Seattle?
I'm sticking with Seattle.
Repeat champion has not happened since the Patriots.
This team has the ability to do it, I think. And the home record has obviously helped them the last couple years. And I got a good feeling about them.
John, you got a pick?
Well, I was going to say Seattle, but I don't believe you actually can pick the same team. And so I'm actually going to pick New England. I think that
pick New England.
And you can't pick them now.
I'm going to pick somebody else.
Simply because I do think that I think Tom Brady is feeling the pressure, and I do think there's a time and place that he and Belichick have to win one more.
Okay, I'm struggling to come up with another team. Okay,
go with Green Bay or something.
If he's a Minnesota fan, he can't pick.
I'm going to pick a worse team.
How about the Bears?
You know I was going to pick them.
No, you can't.
Yeah,
I was going to pick them.
Really? They'll win the World Series. They'll win the Super Bowl 47-46 over somebody because they'll score a lot of points. Who are you taking?
You know what?
There's 31 teams.
Yeah, I know. Hey, Dallas is still open there, Matt.
Green Bay. Whatever.
Wow. Dallas will remain open. Green Bay is selected by Matt Devlin. We can review our picks in February.
Yeah.
You know. He doesn't want to pick who's in the NCAA playoff. He doesn't want to pick the Super Bowl.
He doesn't want to fuel your gambling.
Alabama might win the Super Bowl.
The gambler's nightmare. Let's take a break. We'll continue with the Bullets when primetime continues next.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more great sports talk on Sportsnet 590. The Fan.
What's Bob's line? That last conversation was for the pay-per-view. If you pay to stay around during the commercials, you get to hear what's said.
Really good stuff.
Bob, by the way, will be back tomorrow to return to the helm of his own show. Elliot Friedman here for him, along with Chris Johnston, Matt Devlin, and John Shannon, your Holiday Monday roundtable. Hope you're enjoying the bumper-to-bumper returning home traffic wherever you are. In this country.
That's good, Elliot.
Thank you, John. You know what? You were right. I mucked it up last time by only caring about the Golden Horseshoe listeners. All right. Primetime Bullets.
Typical Toronto.
Typical Torontonian only thinking about himself. The Buffalo Bills have named six captains, none of whom is named their starting quarterback, E.J. Manuel. Is this a big deal, yes or no, Matt Devlin?
Given the fact that he's your quarterback, typically most people want to put that responsibility on a quarterback. But he is a second-year player, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And so I do think that that goes into it. And so maybe they don't feel that he's ready now. And if you don't feel that he's ready, then you're not going to vote him captain.
John?
Overrated captains, particularly in football, when you consider the way
tails. Yeah, no, heads.
Six guys. I mean, you got a captain for special team, two captains for special team, two captains for the O, and two captains for the D. Come on. And in fact, I've always thought it was important to reward leadership, and that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be your best player. So from that perspective, in any sport, so from that perspective, if he's your quarterback, he's got to be a leader anyway, and he's got enough of a pressure on his shoulders to be quarterback.
And if he can command the huddle, that's the most important thing.
Not a big deal, no, also, because I think Kyle Orton will be quarterbacking the Buffalo Bills at some point, sooner rather than later.
Will he be a captain, as voted by his teammates?
Depends who gets traded out midseason.
Boy, if Kyle Orton is starting at quarterback, that is going to be one long, ugly, painful season for the Buffalo
Bills.
That's
not even really the story with the Bills this year, though, is it?
Well, which one of the 86 stories do you want to say is the biggest story?
Who owns the team is the biggest story. As they would say in Face Off, who owned the team?
Who owned the team?
Who owned the Chiefs? I mean, I think that in the end, in Western New York, wins and losses will be secondary to whether Terry Pegula owns the Buffalo Bills or not. And because I think,
do you see it being anybody but Terry Pegula?
No, I don't. I really don't. I think that, you know, with all the bids and all the bidding process that's gone on, and even though they didn't get near the offers they thought they would, I think that the fact that it's Pegula is a Western New Yorker is probably, you know, has told everybody he'd keep the team in Western New York. I think it's just a matter of time. And I think that once that happens, the sigh of relief and everybody stops talking about moving the team to Toronto.
Matt Marchese, the producer of this show, has woken up from his afternoon nap to remind us that the Bills don't even have their first round draft pick next year, having traded it for Sammy Watkins, who can't keep his ribs from getting ouched in regular preseason play. Okay, Matt, we'll start with you on this one too. Jackie McMullen, a high caliber reporter from ESPN and the Boston Globe, very highly respected. She reports in an ESPN video report that Rajon Rondo would like to be traded. The agent comes out to say, no, that's not true. But she also says he will not re-sign when his contract is up next summer. Who do you believe, the reporter or the agent?
Well, I think the question is, ultimately, if you know, Rondo, he looks at it and says, you know what, this isn't going to be a place for me. And I think a lot of people were surprised he didn't get traded last year.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he was injured, and that was a main factor. But they're currently in the middle of a rebuild. Danny Ainge has a ton of you know, draft picks, I believe 9 first rounders.
They're in high-level tank mode. Not 76ers-style tank mode, but
no.
Up there.
Yes, and so they're rebuilding, quote-unquote. And so whether or not you believe, I think, I'm sure he does want out. And so from that regard, you know, Jackie McMullen, if you follow her in the NBA, you know, she's somebody that knows her stuff.
She does.
From that standpoint, I would say that Jackie's probably on point.
Chris, who do you believe, the reporter or the agent?
The reporter. There's no way I can answer that. It could be any story with that question, and I'm going to say the reporter. But you're right. In this case, Matt said it all. I mean, Jackie's got a very strong reputation, and I would believe her over the agent. As we've seen, denials often are quickly followed by the truth happening shortly after, Elliot.
Nope. John, any doubt on the report on this one?
Well, it's interesting. When you look at it, when you consider that the actual video report's been pulled from YouTube.
Yeah, that's strange.
Which tells you that perhaps there is another story there somehow, some way. And one would suspect that Rondo probably did tell somebody, hey, I don't want to be here. And then his agent has said he's not re-signing after 2015, and that got construed somehow, some way.
It's one of those semantics discussions.
Exactly.
I didn't specifically say that.
By the way, semantics, something I think none of us passed. So.
That's right. 4 F's in semantics.
That's right.
Currently at this table. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Chris, I look forward to reading the column on whatever it was you wrote down there earlier.
Half written already.
Matt, thank you very much.
Always good
John
seeing
Shannon,
you.
Thank Anytime. You very much. Good to see you. Hope you had a great summer. Everybody out there, I hope you had a fantastic summer. Look forward to seeing you all happy at your jobs with your kids in school tomorrow. Bob McCowan returns to his rightful seat. This one. At the head of the primetime table. Have a great Labor Day evening, everybody.